We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
What is up, Roto-Grinders? NFL Pick 6 show, week number 15. Usual suspects, as always, two of the absolute best in the business. You got Rich Rebar from Sharp Football Analysis. You got John Daigle from 4 for 4. We're all playing a little bit hurt, a little bit injured, a little bit under the weather. We all have various ailments. We're happy to be here. Happy to talk about week 15. Do want to give a shout-out right at the top to our week 14 winner, the Listener League winner. That is BJS509021. I guess BJS59020 was already taken. Congratulations. Hit me up on the Twitter at @DFS_Almanac. Hit us up on the YouTube comment section. Hit me up somewhere. Let me know. We'll get you a month free. We'll get you juiced up with a month free of Roto-Grinders Premium. Going to run it back once again this week. I'm going to go ahead and drop the link to the new contest in the YouTube chat. We'll probably have it posted there on YouTube as well. While you're getting the contest, also feel free to hit like and to subscribe and do all those things to help us keep the lights on. John, it's been, how was week 14? How are things? I know we discussed, but we'll pretend like we didn't. How are things in your world, John? Everything all right?
Everything going well. We are at the time of the year where you go out to dinner with friends and you wake up the next morning with an itchy throat and you think, oh no, it's just that time of the year. And oh no was the worst case scenario for me. So it's been a strenuous weekend to say the least, but that's usually means one that you just lay on the couch and catch up on movies. I got wiped off our movie, for instance, Silent Night, the one from 2021 with Keira Knightley, turns out. The one we'll talk about it at the end, but I knocked out that one on Saturday afternoon this week, which is much earlier than my usual schedule because I couldn't do anything. So this is my first live appearance on video actually since last Friday morning too. It's been a good one. So here we are. Too good of a birthday. Yeah. That's another excuse.
What's up, Rich? How are things in your world? How was week 14? This is a time where you're supposed to heat up. This is when you kind of call your shot and, you know, you're going to start taking on the tournaments with us. And to be fair, we should say, shout out to John. He's a back-to-back week. So he'll be recommending a movie, not just recommending, a movie that we have to watch and discuss on the next week's show. He'll be assigning us with a movie.
Shout out.
Play along at home.
Shout out to Naked Brock Purdy.
Yeah, possible MVP, maybe. I think it's Dak. We'll see. Just as long as Dallas wins this week. Stay tuned on that. Rich, what's up?
It was not nothing, man. It's been incredible. This, like, last 6 weeks have been absolutely phenomenal. Shout out to my guy, James Cook, immediately getting me there. The first drive of the game, and then the Bills forgot he existed in the second half. But the damage was done. James Cook did what he needed to do early in that game. But, no, it was another great week. We've got four full ones left. I'm at the point now where it's like it started to be fun, like real fun again, because you started to, like, you know, you win money for a few weeks, and you're like, well, man, there's only four left. What am I going to do? That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Are we contractually obligated to, like, mention or discuss our best ball teams and our shares and our advance rate and all that kind of stuff just because we're on a podcast talking football?
Say it again, Rich. I don't check. I have no idea how they're doing.
Oh, my. You're a crazy person. You have no curiosity.
I have absolutely not one clue, except for I know me and Pete Overzet had a team that we drafted on stream together that was doing good, and it's the only team that I know that was even in it. I haven't checked mine at all.
Favorite part is that it's not that you're just not checking now, and then you're going to check championship weekend. You actually just forget championship weekend too, and you won't check till next year sometime.
I mean, if I win, someone will let me know. Like, if I won the whole thing, someone would tell me. Like, I would, like, that wouldn't be elusive.
I'm just going to randomly DM you just congratulations. And, like, I have no idea if you won or not. And I'll be like a big jerk. But
I had a team in the finals last year and didn't know it. And then I went back in to, like, do teams this year. I had, like, money. I had, like, a bunch of money. I was like, where'd this money come from?
It's also the start of a season-long playoffs. It's also we get, like, kind of this sort of, like, pseudo-Thanksgiving slate.
No one cares, but I made the playoffs in every single redraft league I'm in.
That's awesome. Impressive. What is it, like, 5-for-5, 6-for-6?
12-for-12.
Whoa, that's impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually checked. I wanted to make sure.
I know people are mad because I recommended Tony Pollard this summer, but my teams did well still.
You overcame it somehow.
I'm more proud of my teams that got in as a last seed all because of the waiver wire juice I used last week. Like, even trying to pick off Parker Washington, who scored a touchdown, pick up scrubs like that just to fill in off the waiver wire to fight for the last seed. Because last week was an aggravating week for redraft leagues in that some of the best players just hit complete duds. I mean, absolute zero.
The BBM is going to be interesting this week because you think, like, some of the best value picks, like if Tyreek doesn't really play, like the Dolphins in general, like, are down. Keenan Allen was one of the best value picks. He's not playing, already. So, like, it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of quarterbacks in some bad spots this week. So, like, I think this week in general, my overall feelings, it could be a low-scoring fantasy week in general. Outside of a few spots that I'm sure we'll touch on. But I think this is going to be a very interesting week for the teams that actually, like, ran out hot to this point.
Sputtering to the finish line. There's a 10-game main slate. We'll talk about that soon enough. We're going to talk about three games on the 10-game main slate. But we did want to talk about the Saturday slate, which is, you know, there's real big pools out there for Saturday. It's essentially the Thanksgiving slate, the way it's split up as far as times. We're looking at I was going to say the Chargers and the Raiders. That's Thursday night. You do not want to watch that game. That looks absolutely dreadful. The absence of, Keenan Allen, Herbert for the year. Just
somehow got worse than Zappe versus Trubisky. Somehow that Thursday night football managed to one-up itself.
I didn't watch Zappe versus Trubisky, but, like, the box score suggested it might not have been completely terrible. I can't say I watched the second of it, but it looked like it might have been okay, all things considered.
Trubisky was pretty bad. I circumstantially had to watch that game because I was stuck in a room, but Trubisky scored more fantasy points than Kenny Pickett scored in a game in his career to this point.
It could not have been any worse than Minnesota and the Raiders were last week. Minnesota takes on the Bengals at 1 o'clock. We have Pittsburgh at Indianapolis at 4:30, and again, kind of spread out Saturday night, Denver at Detroit. In the dome, so they might actually be able to score some points and look competent. John, are we doing this like game by game or just kind of like an overview when it comes to Saturday? How do you want to approach this?
Well, if you recall, I was six bourbons deep by the time we started doing this on the Thanksgiving slate, so I can't quite remember how we went about it. But I know we began by yelling about quarterbacks and the overall view of the slate. And I will say, I think it's kind of fun because there are a lot of open-ended questions we're going to have to answer with our money on this one. And that begins with Jake Browning and can he keep getting away with it? Because at least in a larger sample, if you want to call it a large sample, in his three starts. Now we've seen that 35% of his passing yards and two of his four passing touchdowns have come within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. But on a small sample, even if we think Brian Flores is going to send the house as he's done, blitz at the league's highest rate, Browning has actually completed 15 of his 21 passes for over 11 yards per attempt against the blitz. So he's been better. Plus, like, the Vikings defense, we talk about the turnaround the Broncos have had since week 5. It's the Vikings who are actually tops in EPA per play in terms of a drop back per play as well against passing offenses. So the Vikings defense has been awesome too. No quarterback has passed for over 275 yards against them since week 5, Patrick Mahomes. That's a long time ago. So I think the Vikings defense is a pretty good one here to probably respond against Jake Browning, but maybe that's where everyone gets to. Jamar Chase is banged up. He's going to play overall. I think my two favorite quarterbacks on the entire slate are Gardner Minshew, especially if we don't think the Steelers are going to have TJ Watt, since we've seen at least Gardner Minshew not really add the mobility, but still tack on rushing scores, and it's a bad quarterback slate. And Russell Wilson, if we think we're going to get juice in that game indoors, I'm somewhat skeptical of the over and the offensive environment, because even someone like Justin Herbert last week, I know people got to the over and thought that game would be a good environment, but even when he was in that game, I mean, 5.5 yards per attempt, they didn't score a single point in the first half either while he was slinging the ball. The Broncos defense has been amazing. So, I think there are a lot of ways to go here with this slate.
The six quarterbacks we have to choose from: Jake Browning, Gardner Minshew at home versus the Steelers, Trubisky there in Indianapolis, Russ, as you mentioned, Goff at home, and Nick Mullins. Is that who's drawing the start here? Is it yeah. No one Mullins over officially mm-hmm. over Dobbs? Okay, man, it's not great. I did run some optimals for funsies as well.
I mean,
well.
It's not just the Saturday slate. This is like where the NFL is right
this
now.
This is the slate.
It's
the quarterbacks. When I was doing rankings this week, I'm like, I can't, like, you know, like, it's like, oh, like Drew Lock might be playing again. Obviously, we've got our guy DeVito. He's out here cooking, but it's like, man, Easton Stick is starting. Like, it's just like all these guys, man. It's rough. It's real rough.
47-year-old Joe Flacco came off the couch and he's like the 8th best quarterback in the league. Like, that still says way more about the quarterback state, the NFL, than it does about Joe Flacco. It's insane. Lots of injuries as well, too. But I may have rounded up on the age, but, you know, he's up there for sure. What do you have here, Rich, as far as your favorite quarterbacks on this 3-game slate? And then we kind of can build some stacks beyond that if you want.
Yeah. I think I concur with Dangle. I'm really using this week as kind of a test for the Jake Browning experiment so far. Like, I think if he gets over here, he can win me over a good bit, because, you know, having some success throwing 35% of your pass behind the line of scrimmage against the Jaguars and who they faced last week. The Colts. Like, two very passive defenses that play some of the most zone coverage in the NFL. They don't really blitz. They haven't been good at all this entire season anyways, against this really hot Vikings team that's been good on the road too. They're 6-0 with a push on the road against the spread, but 10 of their games have gone under. They play tight. It'd be interesting if Kirk Cousins wouldn't have got hurt, like how alive they would be to win the division right now, because mm-hmm. the defense came around. Jake Browning has 2 1-yard rushing touchdowns too, like 2 QB sneak touchdowns. Like, I'm not really stocking a lot of what he's done for fantasy yet. I think he can win me over here if they do some stuff. Because we saw with Burrow, too, when Burrow was in with the Bengals, he had a couple hot spots, and then, like, the Bengals would lay a dud. And then, like, so it's like, I still am, like, not thinking, like, this is, like, foolproof. This could be a game that's really ugly, really kind of gross. Because the Vikings are really good against the run, too. I'm kind of waiting to see here. Not really going to chase Brown. He's really priced up, too, for his last two performances. Like Daigle, I think Minshew is like the wild card, right? Like, he's like the X factor guy. Yeah. And then Russ is like the guy that's in like the best spot. I mean, this Lions defense has been so bad. I mean, they've allowed opponents to score on 30% of their drives over their past 7 games. It's 30th in the NFL. The Lions are turning the ball over like crazy too. Like, they've turned the ball over at the 31st rate in the league the past month. So I really think what they're going to do is run the football a ton on the Broncos, because everyone can run the Broncos. Even Eckler got there last week, right? Like, you know, Eckler made it. Eckler got his 100 yards and a touchdown. I really think it's going to be a lot of David Montgomery, a lot of Jahmyr Gibbs in that game. I don't think they're going to ask Goff to do a ton against this Broncos defense, because they haven't really protected the football. So, I mean, I look at that game and I see maybe like a Ross bring back with whatever Lions run back, maybe both. I don't know. See, maybe you get kind of cute like that way, but that's what I kind of feel like the same way Daigle does.
Russ is the most popular quarterback currently hitting optimals for what it's worth on DK, 29% Browning.
He's also the only one that's been good.
And providing a rushing floor. Like he has the most rushing equity, sadly, out of all the quarterbacks in that slate.
We mentioned Minshew is a wild card. He's always a wild card. Like he's great to throw defense against. He's great to stack. You know, he's always going to make something happen. You're not sure if it's good or bad, but things will be happening. Fantasy things, for better or for worse. But
Mullen, they run a ton of plays, and yeah, they haven't been able to run the ball. Like the obviously everyone in DFS is aware because everyone's played Zach Moss the last 2 weeks. But I mean, like Zach Moss hasn't broken a tackle the last 2 weeks. It's like they haven't been able to run the ball at all. So they run a ton of plays. It's going to be a ton of pass volume probably. It just, you know, depends on if it's an ugly Steelers game or not.
He's definitely not the same player he was that first month of the season when all he was doing was exploding for long runs and deserved all the touches. And maybe that backfires here because it's still an every touch back in a three-game slate, so it can always come back to haunt you. But Minshew also provides leverage off of it because you do have this sweet spot with Michael Pittman, who's basically become Keenan Allen over the last month and a half of the season. Now he has double-digit targets in five of his last six games. He has eight catches in six straight games. Probably my favorite expensive receiver on this slate, honestly. But not only that, but I know Josh Downs, the target juice has kind of fallen off as Zach Moss has earned a couple more. Alec Pierce has gotten in the mix lately too, but it's still from the slot where the Steelers are getting penetrated the most, third most yards per catch allowed to opposing slot receivers. So I can even see a double stack here opportunity with Minshew, Pittman, and Downs.
Yeah, Pittman's going to be pretty heavily owned. You're going to have the salary for him. He's the one that hit the most optimals. I think he actually hit my threshold. He's in 77%. Yeah, I said no more than 77%, and he actually hit 77%. I wanted to jump back running back here, John, and Rich kind of hinted at it. Well, Moss is going to be super popular again. We know about the volume. Of course, he hasn't got their scoreboard, but like the opportunity has been outrageous. They raised the price, but still looks pretty good. And the second most popular guy is Joe Mixon, who we on this show, where this is not a Joe Mixon show. We tend to not like playing him. I like the angle Rich was talking about as far as playing Gibbs and Montgomery. Like it's three game slate. You can only hide so much. They're not going to be as owned as those guys, as far as I can tell. Is that where you're at as well? Do we just go back? I say, like, assuming you played Moss like me, a donkey. But eventually, all these touches have to turn into something here for Zach Moss, I think. How are you handling the running back position as a whole?
Yeah, if I play Minshew, I can make the argument. I could see people playing Moss with him. I don't think I'll get there because I am, like Rich said, most interested in Montgomery-Gibbs combos. I think I prefer Montgomery if we expect the game to actually be a competitive one or the Lions to hold the lead, since you can still run on the Broncos. Around that, though, it's not really a slate outside of Ty Chandler, and I wonder how many people get there. Probably quite a few, since the Bengals are still allowing the only defense allowing over 16% of the runs against them to gain 10-plus yards.
And not the last 2 weeks, man.
well, that's true. And one of those games was against Zach Moss. Ty Chandler has struggled, too, when he's been given this opportunity. But at least we know whenever Alexander Mattison left the field in the second half, Chandler wasn't every down back ahead of Kone and Wangwu. Even ran a route on 60% of dropback. So he was out there to handle every touch. But he's the only value running back, honestly. Outside of that, you got to get up to Moss, Montgomery, Mixon, like you said. But Mixon, even in back-to-back games, he's handled a season-low share in backfield touches because now we have Chase Brown, who is not getting enough usage, in my opinion, to be considered. In a three-game slate, you can definitely play him. In a regular slate, you couldn't play him. But he is averaging 8 yards per touch. That's certainly helped out by his 54-yard screen last week. But even so, they're giving him purposeful touches, and it's 10 touches per game the past 2 weeks too. Whereas it's Mixon who has out-touched him 10-1 inside the 10-yard line. So Mixon's getting all the the touch equity where it matters most, but it's still really coming off of touchdowns only. So again, in a three-game slate, it's hard to make the arguments against it, but I think it's easy, pretty easy to poke holes in Mixon once again, but he's burned me by saying that 2 weeks in a row now.
So I just want to note, we're currently projecting Madison in. I guess we'll see. You know, we're recording this on a Wednesday night.
Sure.
As far as clarity on that, but certainly if Madison's a no-go, Chandler will become much more interesting. Rich, I want your thoughts as far as running backs. And I just want to throw this out there. As far as Javonte Williams, and I thought he was supposed to be explosive. Now, is it injury recovery? Is he more explosive than I think he is?
Injury line. He did have a nice run at the end of that game last week. But yeah, I mean, it's been rough. It's been rough for them running the football with explosives. Really, Russ is the only guy kind of getting there. But yeah, I mean, he's had six straight games below 4 yards per carry. And the Lions are so good against the run. Like, where they're bad against running backs is in the receiving game. Obviously, I do like Javonte Williams' receiving yards prop if you do want to mix in like what you did on Thanksgiving. I think it's 21.5 still. Because
you are feeling hot. You're pounding everything now.
Keep throwing them out. Yeah. I'm going to be betting them a lot. By the way, RIP my just for like 5 minutes, I was winning my Justin Fields bet over 16.5 yards. And then he lost a yard, then he took a knee, and he took a knee, and I think he ended like a 59 or something like that. But felt really good about it for a while.
I mean, they did not get kick, there. They kicked the Lions' ass. They just kicked their ass up and down that stadium.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, we could not get one. I think it was like a yard or two short, but whatever. We're moving forward. Let's get the money back and see what we can get on Javonte Williams.
Javonte's getting a ton of targets per route. So if you want to just think he's going to catch a couple passes, explore that avenue if you want to get your jollies that way. I think the Mixon angle is interesting because I actually think Mixon's going to play more this week because of Brian Flores. You don't know where the blitz is coming from with Brian Flores. So I don't know if the Bengals are going to trust Chase Brown to play a lot of passing snaps in this game. I think when he comes in, it'll be for rushes or like a design screen, like a design play. But I do think Mixon's probably going to play more snaps than he has the past 2 weeks because of this defense they're facing. But granted, this is a defense that is not giving up any rushing production. There's been one running back all season that's rushed for more than 65 yards against the Vikings in a game this season. Also, Mixon is kind of getting there on some plays that don't feel sustainable. He has a reception of 39, 28, and 45 yards the past 3 weeks. I don't like it's hard to say, like, we're just going to count on a running back to have a 30 yard reception every game. Like, it feels pretty thin. Right. So, and the Vikings don't allow any explosive runs, right? They've allowed two rushing touchdowns over their past eight games. So it, like Daniel said, it's easy to poke holes again. And then it's not easy to get to Ty Chandler because Brian O'Neill got hurt last week. Ed Ingram was already out there, right guard. In the last 2 weeks, the Bengals have allowed running backs rush for 32 times for 90 total yards. That's just 2.8 yards per carry. So it's like, it's like, even if you think the defense is bad, we still have to start with the Vikings run game, and the Vikings haven't run on anyone. So, like, you know, it's one of those, you know, movable forces meets, you know, what is it? The movable objects or whatever, stoppable force meets movable object. That's like kind of what it would be. But even then, the Bengals have been good the past 2 weeks against running backs that haven't been good lately. So it's kind of hard to like really fall in love with running backs there. The Steelers backs are still in like this complete 50-50 split where Najee Harris, if he doesn't score a touchdown, is worthless. And if Jalen Warren doesn't score a touchdown from over 15 yards away, he's not scoring a touchdown at all. But the Colts give up just a boatload of touchdowns to running backs. So it's like, how do you play it? You just take Najee, run him back in your stacks with like kind of the Colts and just hope he luck boxes into the touchdown that this week. But really the good running backs are the Lions guys. They're home, they're indoors, they're facing a team that, even as good as the Broncos have been defensively in this turnaround, they're still just getting absolutely flooded on the ground. And we've seen that both of these backs are kind of magnets with each other. They kind of just have reciprocal lines every game. Even last week, Gibbs, 14 touches, 82 yards. Montgomery, 13 touches, 85 yards. It's kind of just like who gets in the box. And both backs, since Montgomery's come back, have six goal-to-go touches. It's kind of just a really even split, even though Gibbs is playing more snaps and running more pass routes. So, like I said, you gave 125 rushing yards to the Chargers running backs. I'm probably going to think the Lions running backs are going to run on you.
Would you play them both in the same lineup, Gibbs and Montgomery? Yeah.
I mean, now if you do that, you can't like stack like Laporta. You're not playing like Amon-Ra. You're not playing Laporta, right? Like,
yeah.
You're playing those two running backs.
I mean, you could play Ross and Sutton with Gibbs and Montgomery. You do something like that.
Yes.
All right. Anything else as far as running backs, Rich or John, or shall we talk about some receivers as far as this three-game slate? By the way, 22.5 is the number. 22.5, Courtland Sutton. No, Javonte Williams, receiving yards. Would you like the over on that, Rich?
On who was it?
22.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, I bet it at 21.5. But that's,
okay,
yeah.
It's going to hit 22. Lock that in for sure. But
receptions? He's going to catch at least 3 passes. I don't know what Cardi has him at, but he's going to catch at least 3.
I'll check and see what the blitz has as well. But yeah, who wants to open up receivers for me? I know we were talking to Dago was talking some Pitten before.
I will say too, for this slate in general, unlike the Thanksgiving slate, you can kind of do whatever you want with the where pricing is. Like, it is not restrictive. This slate is not restrictive. You probably are going to actually want to leave, like, the winners of the big money are probably going to have money left over on the slate for sure.
It seems like a good game theory thought.
As long as you don't think you need like 2 of the top 3 receivers, it's a little tougher if you need that, because I think a lot of people will, like, people wanted to play Justin Jefferson last week, and maybe Jefferson gets there last week if he's not injured, but it's just a totally different environment, honestly, from Josh Dobbs to Nick Mullins. Justin Jefferson probably can get there, but I'm not sure I want to pay $8,100 to find out here. So to me, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, it kind of is a pivot point, which is why I say I think Michael Pittman, literally, even considered among those 3, is my favorite out of the top 4 guys. And then I go from there if I want to play Courtland Sutton, Sam LaPorta. The list goes on, 3 running backs perhaps. Then maybe I do skimp out on the top range of wide receivers. But overall, we saw Ja'Marr Chase kind of come back to earth, and he did suffer an injury last week. But we have seen Jake Browning also lock onto him in the past. We talked about how before that game, Ja'Marr Chase was still touting a 27.5% target share, and then just kind of came back to earth last week as Jake Browning was just dumping the ball off quickly. So, of course, Ja'Marr Chase can get there in this spot, but if we think the Vikings defense is that tough and is the one to slow the Bengals offense down, then it's a spot where I genuinely just don't mind skipping Chase in this slate either.
All right. By the way, you asked, Rich, I got the answer for you for Williams. Targets, 4.9 targets projected for Cardi, 3.9 receptions, and the reception prop is 3.5 over plus 115. So you're getting positive juice on the over of 3.5, but you got to get 4, obviously. All right, Rich, receivers, your thoughts?
Yeah, I pretty much, you know, I mean, that first game is the one, because if that game busts, like, obviously that has some higher priced players in it, you know, Mixon's high price, Ja'Marr Chase's high price, Justin Jefferson's high price. Probably the most alluring piece to me is TJ Hockenson. You know, obviously Justin Jefferson wasn't in when Nick Mullins came in, but I mean, he just immediately got peppered with targets right when Nick Mullins came in with functional quarterback play. And like, the Bengals have just been a team we literally every week have circled at this point when they're facing tight ends, right? Like, Pat Freiermuth, everyone thought he was back like a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I don't know, man. He might have just faced the Bengals. So, you know, like, it's kind of where we are. They have a lot of league high, almost 7 receptions per game to tight ends. They got Evan Ingram's season finally started a couple weeks ago, and he rolled that in the last week. They're allowing tight ends to catch 80% of their passes. That's the highest rate in the league, 31st in yards per target, 19th in touchdown rate. Hockenson, to me, looks like probably the most alluring piece in that game. This also has potential to be a double tight end slate. I know we hate saying that, but like, him and LaPorta, LaPorta's got a great matchup too. You know, Greg Dulcich might play, so we don't know if it's gonna be like a Troutman Dulcich thing. The Colts, like, good luck, like, figuring out like their tight end like situation every week. A different guy leads the team in routes and targets every week, and none of them are really good without a touchdown. And then the Bengals have Tanner Hudson, who's been good on a per route basis, but once again, the dude ran 10 routes again last week. Like, how can you play a guy that ran 10 pass routes? Like, he has to score a touchdown. And even with a touchdown, like, you're not really getting there. So Hockenson probably stands out the most to me in the early game.
Do you want to know what the optimizer says? You're a big fan of the optimizer in this show on a Wednesday night for tight ends.
Hockenson, Freiermuth.
Hockenson third, Freiermuth second, Kylan Granson first. We're saving salary here with Kylan Granson. Mm-hmm. And his projection of, I think it's like 6 points or so. Yeah, 6 points. Okay. It's not a good projection, but like, he's cheap. Probably. You're just betting on nobody smashing.
Will Mallory led the unit in targets last week.
He's getting 4%, Will Mallory. I don't know who Will Mallory is. Like, no clue.
They play all those guys. Mo Alley talks about the touchdown last week on a fourth down play call designed to him. Like, what kind of stones to call that play on fourth, you know, fourth and goal? We're running the Mo Alley Cox jump ball. Andrew Ogletree still is like in, like running a few routes.
John, you got anything for tight ends here? Any tight end takes?
Yeah, Rich pretty much called it already too. Laporta, Hawkinson both stand out. I think Freiermuth is interesting as well, given that, again, if we're targeting players against the Colts, tight ends been one. They've allowed the ninth most fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends. And then it does present an interesting late swap opportunity if we do get Dulcich news. I don't know if he's going to play. It's something I hope we would get by Saturday morning. But remember, the last time he returned, he came back from that hamstring injury, I believe it was. And then he was targeted twice on only 11 snaps. They were basically using him as like an every down player because Sean Payton has tried the Nate Atkins experience. He's tried to get a receiving tight end there this entire time, and he just can't find anyone. So he's instead jamming Adam Trautman targets inside the 5-yard line to make it work. But if we get Dulcich at a late swap, that's a pretty good opportunity, honestly.
Chris Manhertz, he's a blocker, right? I feel like I recognize blocker. That name. But okay.
Discount right. Josh Oliver.
He is 2.5K. His projection is, yeah, not, basically non-existent. Let's do this. Your favorite stack. Obviously, reserve the right to change your name. To change it, you know, we're talking about Wednesday night for a Saturday slate. But on a Wednesday night, Rich, give me your favorite stack on this Saturday slate. Feel free to give runbacks. I want to give runbacks.
Yeah, I would say Sutton and Jahmyr Gibbs, the two. Listen, okay. Sutton's going to make a catch with his helmet at some point. Like, I don't know. Like, he's running out of, like, crazy shit to do. Like, you know, and he keeps one-upping himself every week. He's going to, like, I don't know what he's going to do, catch the ball with his legs pretty soon. Like, I don't know, man.
He better
the catch Lions it. The Lions are getting crushed by wide receivers, right? Like, this would be the time. I'm going to call it. Sutton has his first 100-yard game on Saturday.
The Lions are just trying to let the Packers win the division, and they're like, oh, we don't know yet.
We'll that's right. Dude, if Cousins wouldn't have got hurt, man. Yeah. Like,
is this that'll be the first of his career or the first of the season for Sutton?
This year he doesn't have a 100-yard game yet.
Okay.
Yeah, because, they don't throw. They don't throw any passes.
What do you got, John? What do you have as far as your favorite stack and the three gamer?
Yeah, Russ Sutton with Lions double running backs, running back, no pun intended, and Minshew doubles with Freiermuth. I think is my kind of ways to play it. Maybe even sit on Freiermuth, get some late news, swap to Greg Dulcich or Adam Trautman with Russ across from the Lions players. There are multiple ways to play it. What do you have projected Jared Goff right now ownership? I figured everyone would just want to play him. Everyone likes to get a little bit lazy and use the Jared Goff indoor narrative, although the outdoor indoor narrative has been swapped for like 2 months in a row now. I just figured people would want to play Jared Goff.
So we don't currently have ownership projections, but okay. I can just tell you optimizer-wise, which some, you know, there's a correlation to it, sure. But he's the fifth most popular quarterback, which is a nice way of saying the second least popular quarterback at 9%, just ahead of Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd be higher. Trubisky also
has the Minshew gene. He could be the dude you need.
Yeah,
I have played with Trubisky lineups, and they are terrifying. But I have played with
them two quarter. That's the Spider-Man meme matchup, yeah. Trubisky and Minshew.
He did have a rushing touchdown on Thursday night.
He can scoot. I mean, he's throwing, man.
Trubisky with Johnson or Pickens or both? Is there
naked
Trubisky?
The biscuit.
We've seen George Pickens he's been the same guy whether he's had Deontay Johnson on the field. As long as Deontay Johnson is playing, George Pickens is that guy. Matt Canada's presence does not matter. They just don't use him creatively at all.
All right, let's move on and talk about the 10 game main slate. 10 gamer. A lot of low totals, as has been the theme this season.
Boy, are they.
I think six of them are below 40. We got Atlanta, Carolina, 34.5. Kansas City is in a game that has a total of 37, which, like, I can't remember the last time that's happened, where the Kansas City Chiefs have been in a game total.
Also, week 14, another tough scenes for weather enthusiasts.
Real tough
scenes. The worst scenes.
Real tough scenes. Listen, when Zach Wilson scores 30 and a half, I don't want to hear anyone talking about the rain.
Certainly not on Wednesday. We're not talking about that. And, you know, people only remember like the one time where it got really, really goofy. But for the most part, it's not that big a deal, especially rain. Wind will really screw some things up. By the way, speaking of low totals for teams, the Dolphins are in a game that has a 39.5 total or a 39 total facing the Jets.
Well, Dean, they're calling you up. Are you playing right guard this week for the Dolphins? Their entire starting offensive line is out.
Wait, their entire offensive line is out?
They're from their week one offensive line, all five starters, plus one of the backups are going to miss. We haven't gotten official word that Taron Armstead and Robin Hunt aren't going to play. They didn't play last week. But Connor Williams now out for the year. Isaiah Wynn's out for the year. And it was evident last week. I mean, Tua was pressured on he was pressured on almost 50% of his dropbacks, by far the highest rate of the season on Monday night. And if you're going to come into the whole backup offensive line against the Jets.
Oh, man. That's bad news.
Connor Williams missed that Eagles game, too. And, dude, Jalen Carter ate him alive in that one. That's how the Dolphins struggled so much.
The first game we're going to focus on here, Tampa. Tampa's in Green Bay. 41.5 is a total. Packers are 3.5-point favorites. John, feel free to pick where you want to pick. This was, I guess there was kind of two obvious games I want to say that we'll talk about, which we'll talk about in a second. And this is the one that, if there's one off the board, it's probably this game. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say amongst the three games we've selected?
I think so. I'd be curious to know where everyone else is getting. Maybe we'll talk about it. Well, okay, probably 49ers Cardinals, but I don't know if I'm interested in any Cardinals.
Well, there's the two one sides, right? Like everyone's playing Rams dude, and everyone's playing 49ers dude.
Right.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about at least one of them because maybe the Commanders can still push back in that game. And of course, 49ers should enter our pools every single week. But yeah, Packers Bucks could get interesting because it's kind of the same spot we've been targeting all year long. It's the Bucks defense. Even last week, we talked about like my pool of quarterbacks literally was Josh Allen, Brock Purdy, and Desmond Ridder, only on DraftKings because Drake London and Kyle Pitts kind of became fringe cash options. Everyone played Drake London. And I just thought, okay, if I can play Desmond Ridder and then get up to Mike Evans, I have both my game stack and then I could have salary to allocate elsewhere.
Nobody played London on FanDuel, which was amazing.
Well, no one played Mike Evans on DraftKings, which was not amazing, except me. Because then I sat here with my little 1.8 points on DraftKings all week long, thinking I'm smart at 5%. And boy, that got nowhere. But in this spot, I think Jordan Love will have no problems attacking the Bucs defense. Even last week, like we said, Desmond Ridder, 375 passing yards, also tacked on a rushing touchdown, but over 8 yards per attempt as well. Jordan Love struggled on Monday night against the Giants, but we saw what he accomplished in the five games prior to that against the soft schedule, the Chiefs game included, where he ranked 8th in yards per attempt from a clean pocket. And now it's a Bucs defense that they not only were already 26th in pressure rate the last month since they lost players, but they could yet again be missing Vita Vey, Devin White. So it just seems like another great spot to have confidence in the Packers passing attack, whether we get Christian Watson or not, because you know who to stack them with too. You can go right back to Jaden Reed, who the A dot, the air yards, I understand we're not pretty, at least on Monday night for Reed, but he's still averaging a 23.3% target share without Christian Watson this year. So that's one of my favorite players to drag him along with. And then you can also just kill the tight end spot if you want and go down to Tucker Kraft. I don't know what the optimals have, but the Bucs are not only allowing the fourth most catches per game to opposing tight ends, but Tucker Kraft is basically being used like Luke Musgrave, where 91% route rate this past week also popped up for a team high in receiving yards. So sure, I have my little stacks. I can go back to Mike Evans. Done. Game accomplished.
Tucker Kraft on the Family Feud board of tight ends in the Optimals, but fifth on the board. He's at 13%.
Can I guess who the top guy is this week?
Yeah.
Chigakonkwo.
He's second. Second on the board. 41 people surveyed out of 100 survey. took Chig.
Hey, I thought I had it. I was trying to number, try to. Try to guess.
The number one answer has been on fire with receptions, with targets, with actual fantasy points.
Trey McBride again? And
his face was actually on fire earlier in the season.
It's
we talked about litmus test week for Jake Browning. Joe Flacco, come on down, buddy, because there's a lot of elements not in your favor outside of playing at home. Like, you're going to be on your third and fourth offensive tackle. This Bears defense now allowing a league low in yards per attempt since they got Jalen Johnson back in week six. It's going to finally be a game where we're going to see if the volume matters for Joe Flacco.
Yeah, the Bears' defense has been really, really good.
Been awesome. You know,
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing as far as their draft stuff. I don't really follow that, but are they happy with are the fans there happy to win games right now, John? Or they kind of
probably not win games at this point. Well, they're going to get the first pick regardless because everything went their way last week. Because the Patriots won, and who else won? Who was the other team that won that they needed to win? But they're cooking. Like they're getting that Panthers pick.
It tells you. That's how down bad you are if you were already eliminated from the postseason. The Panthers were the first team to do so in the year 2023, because like even the Giants have a playoff spot like available to them right now if they continue to win out. No one's eliminated except the Panthers.
And only one team is officially clinched for the playoffs.
Right.
Which team? Is that San Fran or Baltimore?
Yeah, 49ers have clinched. They're in.
Yeah, I just pulled up the tankathon for the NFL. Carolina is 1-12, and they have two games on New England and Arizona.
The Patriots winning last week was huge for the Bears.
By the way, number one on the Family Feud board for receivers. We don't really talk receivers as far as we like to talk about the tight ends and the optimizer, but Jaden Reed, not going to sneak up on anybody. He's popping. He's really, really cheap. Opportunity is good, and he's hitting basically the threshold. Yeah, I capped it at 70%. And he landed in 70% of my DK lineups.
Because they play on Monday night.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how that goes. No price change.
Although DraftKings might not have moved him anyways.
They could be asleep at the wheel sometimes, depending on.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to put a moratorium on dudes people trying to recreate Deebo Samuel. Like, just let Jaden Reed's a really good wide receiver. If you let him play wide receiver. The usage that he had Monday night, like to try to make him like Wisconsin Deebo Samuel or whatever. I couldn't come up with like a knockoff cheese pun off the top of my head. Really feel like I let that one down. But just let him play receiver. The dude is a dog. Like, let him play a real wide receiver. Like, you don't have to give him all of these pop passes and stuff near the line of scrimmage. Like, the dude can actually win as a wide receiver. He's won downfield all season. So let him actually run some real routes this weekend, especially against the Buccaneers. Please, 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 please. But also, we like him because he gets targeted a ton against the blitz. I mean, Todd Bowles still going to blitz a lot. I will say this is a week two where, like, Romeo Doubs probably isn't hands off if Christian Watson is out. I mean, the Buccaneers are getting absolutely flooded on the perimeter. And we know Romeo Doubs has a ton of touchdown equity. So, like, don't overlook him just because Jaden Reed's so popular. I think there's definitely opportunity for Romeo Doubs to do something too.
Rich, how do you feel about the Bucs?
Just Evans. Pretty clear. White and Evans are pretty clear. Like White started to like be an efficient runner the past 3 weeks too. I mean, it used to be he was getting there as a receiver, but now he's got 184, 102 rushing yards now the past three games. The first 10 games of the season, he only averaged 45 rushing yards per game. And we know you can run on the Packers. I mean, they're over their past five games, they're 31st in the NFL in yards per carry allowed to running backs. They've had six rushing touchdowns. That's tied for the most in the league. So Rashad White looks like, and he's the guy I feel like people never like really want to click. So he's just not that, he doesn't seem like a fun player, but like he keeps getting there. And he's been just a tremendous value now for basically two full months and just continues to get there. We don't know if Jair Alexander is going to play, but it is a good matchup to run back Mike Evans. So Green Bay is playing cover three on the third highest rate in the league. Mike Evans has already faced the teams that run cover three more than the Packers. And in those games, he had six catches, 70 yards and two touchdowns, seven catches for 162 and a touchdown. He's averaging 3.5 yards per out run against cover three. One of the best in the NFL. So I think you can go right back to him. There's all kinds of opportunities to stack this game.
You got anything else, John, as far as Tampa and Green Bay?
No, because even Kay Naughton, who's like always just cheap, everyone just kind of clicks him if it's not a good tight end slate. I feel like although he has the third highest route participation out of their bye, out of any tight end, I feel like we got really lucky with that last second touchdown last week. Even Baker, like the magic kind of disappeared. He did it all in his last two drives to help the Bucs win in the end. But that Kay Naughton touchdown certainly saved his day.
It's interesting you said that, Rich, as far as White. Like, he's just not a sexy play. Like, not a ton of draft equity came in end of the third round. His player profile comp is really impressive, though. It's
he's good.
You want to guess?
He was a good prospect in my model as well. I'm glad to see that he's actually playing well. I mean, he has to at least have bought himself another year, I think.
I would think so too. Yeah. But just for some reason, maybe
that line is hot garbage. Like, if they ever get it off, they haven't had an offensive line there, it feels, for like the last five since Brady's first year. They had a really good offensive line Brady's first year, and since then, like, the line has been trash.
According to Player Profiler, the best comparable for Rashad White is David Johnson. But does that check out for you? Does that make sense for you?
I think David Johnson's a pretty unique dude.
It's insulting to David Johnson.
Well, I mean, he's just one of the other guys too. Like, he was a wide receiver. Like, he just had an unorthodox running style. He wasn't even that great of like an overall like runner. Like he just had like it, dude. He's a great athlete, great receiver. Man, the prime David Johnson was on a heater there for a couple of years.
He burned bright.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
He was a threat to go for 100 yards on the ground, 100 yards in the air.
That era where we had Le'Veon, David Johnson, Gurley, like Chris Rickett, like we were just, you had to get two
Antonio of those guys Brown, early. If you can get Antonio Brown.
Yeah. You had to have two of those guys every week, though, because they were all 10K and they were giving like 30 points a game.
Yes. You got to be old, like 6-7 years ago, whatever it was. I don't know how many years ago now it was, but that was.
I mean, Gurley that one year, wasn't Gurley like 12K at one point on FanDuel? Like, I swear.
Probably.
Dude, he was like Russell Westbrook that year. Like, you were like, dude, the dude's gonna have two touchdowns. He's gonna have 150 total yards. Like, what do you do? How do you combat this? Like, and they were like, we're just gonna make him 12K and see who plays him. And we still played him.
And then
Russ was. Yeah.
And then the next year, he was splitting touches in the playoffs with CJ Anderson. Hate to see it.
Life comes at you fast.
Life comes at you really fast.
Speaking of Todd Gurley, we got the Rams. The Rams at home versus the Commanders. 50.5 is the total. Rams got a pretty big boy total when it comes to their team total, 28.5. They're 6.5-point favorites versus Washington. Just a completely horrendous defense there. They're also in a dome, which is nice this time of year. Rich, I assume the focus here, the main focus as far as this game, will be the Rams offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's tried and true, right? Like, why break? We only got 4 weeks left of the Commanders playing football. Why not just keep playing guys against them?
We have a new name coming, or is it still up in the air? Is that what the reference was? I thought they're renaming the team. Is that what you're saying?
You're talking about four more. Yeah, I guess that it's all also applicable. But I mean, for us to keep playing guys against Washington, this is an interesting spot because obviously Stafford's been on this heater the last three games. He was due touchdown regression. It's finally caught up. I mean, he's thrown three or more touchdowns now, three games in a row. He's facing a Washington team that's allowing a league-high touchdown rate to opposing quarterbacks. They've had multiple passing touchdowns in 10 games this season. And again, until this stops being true, I will keep bringing up the stat that every quarterback Washington has faced since the season opener has scored more points that week than they were averaging coming into that game. So, yeah, keep playing those guys. I do think Kyron Williams becomes an interesting like kind of leverage pivot play because the one thing is when you look at the Rams, and they've done this a few times and they've been up kind of both Cardinals games, even though Stafford did get there in that Cardinals game, is they are running the hell out of the football when they're ahead. So it does make – I think Kyron Williams, because he's really priced up on both sides. But, I mean, you look at the Rams, like they have a 42.5% drop back rate that's 25th in the NFL when they are leading in the second half this season. So it could be another big Kyron Williams. And, like, outside of Christian McCaffrey, Kyron Williams legitimately has, like, the best role – like of any running back.
All right, John, your thoughts as far as the Rams? We got in Kyron. Cooper Kupp, is he kind of sort of somewhat back? He looked pretty good last week. Puka Nacua, when he's healthy, he's awesome too.
No gloves, also, Puka, too. You got to respect the Mark Grace, just the tape around his fingers for making
Mark
grabs.
Mark Grace, wow. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I believe, is still going no gloves.
Moises Alou.
As he should.
Were you a Cubs fan like in 1991? Is that
no, but I was a hardcore. Like, I grew up playing fantasy baseball. It's like got me into fantasy football.
Yeah. So yeah. Maybe some dudes. Cubs there. Shout out Mark Grace. Shout out to.
Listen, when we were kids, we didn't have cable. So, like, one of the channels we got was WGN. And
yeah.
And they played day games because at Wrigley, they played only so many night games a year. And him, Harry Carey, and the Cubs were always on when I got home from school, man. Like, always.
And Harry Carey was drunk out of his mind by, like, the third inning. 1991, I think, that the Cubs did not have lights until, like, 1991. Like, it was 89 or 91, which is an outrageous thing to think. Like, they didn't play night games. I think that's the year. I don't know. John, you've probably been to your fair share of Cubs games during the day. Maybe you haven't. I don't know.
I have, yes. Evan Silva has season tickets. And so when he has the all-you-can-drink, all-you-can-eat tickets, you join him. They are good seats. You join him whenever you can, yes.
You must have some great anecdotes from that, but maybe you want to hold back on those. I don't know.
Or he has great anecdotes to me. Both ways can be very true. But for the Rams, yeah, I kind of like playing it, as Rich said, through Kyren Williams. And honestly, if you want to chase Kyren Williams' target share with Stafford, you can do that as well. We've seen that happen multiple times this year. But the Rams have run the ball with a 2-score lead at the 4th highest rate in the last 3 games since Kyren Williams returned. And so maybe they do want to put this one away on the ground, and we can kind of steal from Stafford's touchdown equity that way. But if you play Stafford, you do know you can play both wide receivers. And now we've seen since week 5, it's Nakua, who has a 25% target share, to Cooper Kupp's 22.5%. Nakua, who's also averaging 14 fantasy points per game, to Cooper Kupp's 12.5. I feel like it could have gone either way, right, for Stafford last week, or for Cooper Kupp last week. It could have been him coming around a few weeks removed from his ankle injury, or it could have been we got lucky to get there with him and his like ceiling performance that we haven't seen in a while. But he did look really good in that game against the Rams. Stafford looked really good too. 22 of 24 under pressure was absolutely wild against arguably the league's best defense. But overall, you can play both those guys. And if you want to get unique and onslaught Stafford too, if we don't get Tyler Higbee, we still saw, you know, I don't know if anyone knows who Davis Allen is. Yeah, but we saw him get Tyler Higbee usage. He even scored his touchdown on a Tyler Higbee screen, basically, where they called the same exact kind of targets for him. He was in on a route of 70% of dropbacks. He was involved, and he's going to be super cheap. So I think that's kind of the way I play it. I'm trying to probably get off of it and play it through Kyren or onslaught Stafford entirely around Kyren.
Yeah, I think Stafford's pretty clearly like your cash game quarterback this week.
Yeah.
I mean, where he's priced on both sides.
That's what makes Jordan Love interesting, too, because Jordan Love is priced right around him to the point where even with Jaden Reed, everyone catching steam, I don't think people will get to Love, whose salary also did not increase due to Monday night, but also because he played like shit on Monday night, too.
We have, for what it's worth, in the optimals and stuff, the ones that ran, the most popular quarterback is Purdy, then Justin Fields, then Howell. Then Flacco, and then Stafford. So maybe that's a little bit of disrespect here to Stafford. Stafford did look great last week. And also throwing in
3 weeks in a row. It's 3 weeks in a row for Stafford.
He's been awesome.
And they're, I mean, the Rams are real live to make the playoffs. Like, absolutely live. Like, their remaining schedule, they play the 49ers in week 18, which might not matter for the 49ers, but like, Commanders, Saints, Giants are the next three for the Rams. Like,
man. Just to come within
and they almost won that game. Like, man,
to come within a punt return touchdown in overtime against the freaking Ravens. Like, you have my respect, Rams. Get out there and mess around. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, McVay, Raymond Summerlin has been bringing up that McVay's coach of the year odds are like 50-1 right now. And like, they're like way undervalued. Like, because if they get in, he's probably drawing him. And it's probably between him and Stefanski. Like right now, like
McCarthy, maybe
where he's priced though looks real good.
Sure,
shout out to Ray for bringing that up, because if they win these next three in a row and people are like, man, we thought the Rams are going to be absolute dog shit, and like they're in the playoffs, that's typically how coach of the year is won. It's why coach of the year award winners flame out and end up getting fired, because it's usually the award is given out just they're like, oh, we thought you'd suck, here's the award, you must have done a great job, and then we find out like they just ran hot on variance, or like they weren't that good or anything, right? But like now we have these two spots where it's like actually legitimately like amazing coaching going on from Sean McVay and Kevin Stefanski. Like, it feels like the award actually is going to be handed out for deserving fashion this year.
The Commanders are also playing in this football game against the Rams.
they will be dressed.
They'll be in uniform. They'll be going the.
And Brian Robinson might not, but he did not practice today. Out of the box.
Yeah. Antonio Gibson at 5'2". I assume he's pretty well ahead of Chris Rodriguez. Say it again.
Listen, Daigle loves some Chris Rodriguez. I'll be playing Antonio Gibson if Brian Robinson's out, especially in this game that could be with the Rams, you know, the Commanders chasing points. But I know Daigle has a soft spot for Chris Rodriguez.
I have a soft spot for Chris Rodriguez in April whenever you're doing big board best ball drafts. That's what I have a soft spot. because you think he's going to get equity, and he did get equity. Look at him now. Maybe Chris Rodriguez is the guy you need in week 15, Rich. You don't know.
He might be getting the box.
How do we feel about Howell? Do we like Howell at all?
I'm off. He's been absolutely terrible his last three games. Like, maybe he plays better out of the bye. Like, he's getting there just on rushing. He's got a rushing touchdown in three straight games, and like, that's a tough way for Sam Howell to live, man. I think the volume will be here for him. He can get there, but I'm not excited about him. Like Daniel said, my pool of quarterbacks I think is already taken up this week.
Yeah, I try to.
I would rather play Gibson if Robinson's out, or like Curtis Samuel.
John, you got the Commanders. Do you want to give the sales pitch on Rodriguez, or just like the sales pitch was, you know, you liked them a while back? Maybe not so much.
Pre-draft best ball is just all about the prospects you think coaches will like and organizations will like. And so you get some ADP bumps based on picking them. And Chris Rodriguez was a guy I really thought he'd eventually get taken just because he wasn't good in college, but he was a workhorse. And he kind of fit the mold of exactly Ron Rivera. Like Ron Rivera loves these guys who are workhorses, but not athletes at all. That's who Chris Rodriguez is. And the good thing, though, is last game we saw when Brian Robinson was injured before the bye, Chris Rodriguez was strictly a early down running back. 7 carries, but no targets. That's all Antonio Gibson. So it's pretty easy to paint the picture of Stafford onslaughts or Kyren Williams and then running it back with Antonio Gibson, which is good because it's a slate where we don't really have running back values right now either. And then for Curtis Samuel, it's just simple. It's the same thing we talked about prior to whenever we had the Dolphins Commanders game, that the Commanders don't want to play 3 wide set. They don't have a choice now because their defense is so bad. And now we've seen because of that in back-to-back games against the Cowboys and Dolphins, Curtis Samuel had a 27% target share and a 22.7% target share, 17 targets in that time. Like, they had no choice. And so if they're just going to bring him on the field and dump the ball off to him because Howell's getting rid of the ball quickly to try at least and avoid sacks, Samuel's really the only wide receiver getting here. That's what's so frustrating about Howell's dropbacks is that it's a lot of volume, but as Rich said, the last three games, it's not helping him, actually, and then it's not actually helping the receivers either except Curtis Samuel.
Just taking a quick peek at our live chat here, those that join us on a Wednesday night, do appreciate that. I'm just like, see, Dave Kingman and Chase Utley. I'm like, oh, yeah, people are still making references to, like, baseball players, and I assume those guys did not wear gloves.
Chase Utley did not wear gloves either. Obviously, big bit on Always Sunny, too, at Chase Utley.
I've never seen the bit. I guess that makes sense from Philadelphia, but I guess I got to check it out.
Yeah. I haven't seen every Always Sunny. Mac wants to have a catch at Chase Utley. Pretty good stuff.
By the way, we don't talk a lot of slate dynamics, but it is kind of interesting.
But Stafford, I know I saw Richie Smalls, but like Stafford only had 24 points, but like, he's the 11th highest priced quarterback on FanDuel. He's the 10th highest priced quarterback on DraftKings. He was the QB5 still. And in the construct of 2023 football, like 24 points is a lot for quarterbacks now.
That's why
he's like, pretty cheap.
That's why we constantly.
That's the thing is he's so cheap, right? Like, like getting 24 points out of a 6K quarterback and a 7-2 quarterback is a big deal. I do think, like I said, Kyren, it does become an interesting leverage point, though.
That's how we constantly poke holes in the expensive quarterbacks now because cheap quarterbacks are still taking this thing down, or mid-priced quarterbacks like a Brock Purdy.
It's kind of been the meta for the last month.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, like, what are the big-priced quarterbacks that we are afraid of maybe not having?
That's been the story of DFS the last month, right? Like, and I even think that Cowboys game has a chance to not really pop the way people think, too. And if Dak or Allen don't get there.
Well, that's
Mahomes hasn't been getting there all year. Like, so, and you know, that you brought up the game total for that. I think it's a bad spot for Fields. We don't know if Stroud's playing. So, like, it's another week where we're talking about, like, the Brownings of the world, right? Like, if you hit these guys, that you're winning that way. So, like, the guys like Stafford, Jordan Love stand out. Like, obviously, Purdy's in that, like, kind of tweener zone. You can make kind of the case for Will Levis. That's what's been the meta roster construction has been to get one of these quarterbacks that are going to get you around 20 points for 5 to 6K or 7K on FanDuel. And then you're getting your 10-5 Christian McCaffrey. You're getting your big wide receiver in the lineup. And that's what's winning these tournaments.
The interesting thing as far as the slate, one of the interesting things, you know, 7 games early, 3 games late, the 3 late games are all the biggest totals, right? 47.5 San Fran, Arizona. 50.5 Washington and the Rams. And, you know, the one we're going to talk about now, the Cowboys and the Bills, probably, at least going in, we're expecting this to be the most watchable, if nothing else. Some interesting fantasy pieces as well. Bills still in that must-win mode at home. The Mafia is going to be in town. We got 1.5 points as far as their favorite. Their favorite by 1.5 over Dallas. John, you want to start here? Allen, Dak, these are the quarterbacks that could theoretically like put up the big number that maybe you're going to miss out on if you're going cheap. But otherwise, there's not a lot of bullets. It feels like you have to dodge. We run down the quarterbacks on this slate. Mm-hmm. But who is your preference? Which side do you prefer to start on offensively?
I, like Rich, have question marks for both sides. I saw the 51-point total. I saw the Bills favored by 2.5 points when it opened. And I thought, I don't know about that. Doesn't seem like a good spot for either team, honestly. A lot of question marks in this game. I'll start with the Bills side because last week I had a lot of confidence in Josh Allen's ceiling, and he didn't get there because they slowed things down in the second half. I still have no idea why. I have lots of questions for Sean McDermott outside of 9/11, but that's for another day. And when we want to spend up for a quarterback, we just need to make sure that we get the ceiling we're spending up for. And I don't know if it's a spot because the Cowboys are one of only two defenses to use man coverage on over 40% of their defensive snaps. And Allen is 20th in both completion rate and yards per attempt against man this year, logically because they don't have the receivers to separate when one-on-one. And that includes Gabe Davis, who not only got a dud from last week, but who for his career, we've constantly on this show cited, he's been much better at earning targets against zone coverage. So I feel like I would go back to James Cook since we've now seen in the three games under Joe Brady, 27 running back targets for that backfield. It's what got us there in the first quarter, in the first half last week with complete confidence. And then maybe if Dalton Cade's out, which it looks like we're not headed that way because he was limited on Wednesday with that shoulder injury, I could also see playing Dawson Knox for cheap. But overall, about Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, everyone else involved, I don't think I want to get there in this game, quite honestly, against this Cowboys defense. So I just have question marks all around about this environment.
Dean made it 4 for 4. He did it. 4 weeks. 4 weeks in a row.
It's gotta be a record. Wow.
It's just a bit unbelievable. Now. Oh my goodness. Just an absolute bit at this point.
I was wondering how long Rich was going to hold out. I was like, do we just let him keep going until he figures it out or what?
Just an absolute bit at this point, Dean. Now you're just swearing. I don't even know if it's real anymore. It's happened so frequently. I can't even tell if it's a thing anymore. You're just purposely doing it.
I've hit the cough button many times throughout this show. Like I said, I'm playing hurt. All of us are playing hurt for our various ailments. I was saying that your son, he cracked the Da Vinci code on Cade Otton. He figured out exactly when Cade Otton's going to score based upon what he did in the previous week. I wonder if he has any thoughts on Gabe Davis, who last week.
I don't know, man. He might be listening. He said he was going to watch. If he's in the chat, he can maybe post something if he thinks it's a Gabe Davis week or not.
So, let me just tell you, I don't want to, lead him. Let him figure it out. I don't want to try to crack the magician's code. But week 9, Gabe Davis, 0 yards. Week 11, 0 yards. And then last week, 0 yards. But like every other week, he's doing things. He had that big week versus Philadelphia. He at least caught some passes versus Denver. He had a big day versus Tampa Bay in the middle of all that. So maybe it's like odds evens. Maybe it's a Gabe Davis week. I don't know. Again, I'm just curious if he has a thought on that. But the ultimate, best ball, boom, bust guy, Gabe Davis, proud of UCF. But thoughts on Davis and the Bills offense in general, Rich, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can always play Josh Allen. Like, he's got the rushing equity. He still kind of got there last week, but I mean, it was a pretty gross game. I mean, he had a season low 54.8% completion rate. He's also completed 60%, fewer than 60% of his passes now in three of his past four games. He was pressured on 48% of his dropbacks against the Chiefs. That was the highest rate this season. And listen, the Cowboys are right up there in pressure rate. They're seventh in the NFL or third in the NFL in pressure rate. They just pressured Jalen Hurts on 40% of his dropbacks. And that's been kind of Josh Allen's MO this year. He hasn't been that good when pressured this year. It's kind of been where he's been all year. So like, is it like an eruption spot? Does he need a rushing touchdown to get there? Does he have like a 300-yard passing day in him? I don't really think so. So like,
that's what opens up this slate, right? When we're talking about, does Stafford only get 20 fantasy points? Well, if Stafford only gets 20 fantasy points and Josh Allen and Dak Prescott don't get there, that's a pretty big thing on the slate. And Stephon Diggs is averaging his lowest yards per route run against man coverage since he's joined the Buffalo Bills. He hasn't had a 100-yard game in any of his past seven games. He's faced a really tough schedule, but it doesn't get better here. Like, just two wide receivers have had 100 yards against the Cowboys this season. They have a couple solid games back-to-back now to DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown. So maybe there's an opportunity there. Obviously, you're never just going to say, like, Diggs can't get over. But for his price, he has not been worth his price for quite some time. And definitely when you look at Gabe Davis's, you know, spot against man coverage, he has just one of his six touchdowns this season against man coverage, targeting just 15.6% of his routes. So hard to justify objectively saying it's a Gabe Davis week. Also, with Dawson Knox coming back, when, like Daigle said, if Kincaid's out, then they won't be able to run 12 personnel. But with Dawson Knox coming back, they went right back to playing all that 12 personnel. Khalil Shakir only ran a route on 2/3 of the dropbacks. And we got to find out what the hell is going on with this James Cook thing. This dude was their entire offense in the first half. Mm-hmm. He looked absolutely unreal. He's gone over 100 yards in four straight games, and the dude didn't play in the second half. You know, the past four games, he has 53% of the backfield touches, 55%, 55%, 57% the past four games. Sorry. He had 9 of 18 backfield touches after the first quarter in that game. Every time he touched the ball, he was the only Bills player that looked competent in offense last week. And they're in here just the ghost of Ty Johnson and Latavius Murray are out here like just eating up snaps, dude. Like, it is an absolute joke that the fact that these guys are playing as much as they are. And I know they haven't trusted James Cook in pass protection. Let him run routes. Who gives a shit? He's the only guy doing stuff for your offense right now. Like, you, they have to get him more touches. The Bills.
Do you think he was hurt, or you think that was just that was the plan?
No, because I just gave you a four-game sample. Like, it's regular. He's only getting 55% of the backfield touches literally every game for a month, and he's still getting 100 yards from scrimmage in these games. Find a way to get this kid the football more, because your offense doesn't have the weapons right now. I mean, if you're only going to run Dalton Kincaid out 4 yards for a four-yard A-dot every target, like, how are you generating plays? Where are the big plays the Bills are generating? They've all been from James Cook.
I keep talking about how Diggs is just like crazy overpriced. Like, he doesn't, you look at his price, and it's like, not to be the game log guy, but looking at the game log, it's like he has 60K points or less in three of his last four games. How could he be 8-4?
It is crazy that they were quick to adjust Cooper Kupp, but they didn't touch. They just won't touch Stephon Diggs at any point.
I imagine it's because of rostership, right? Like, because last week Josh Allen was stacked. So when you click Josh Allen's name, who's the first guy you click afterwards for the majority of games?
Not
you.
Well, there's salary concerns. It's hard to. Sure. Yeah, you want to say you want to click
Josh Allen. Like, someone's typically like, "Well, I guess I'm picking Stephon Diggs now." Where we were talking about, you know, get, you know, James Cook in with the stacks with Allen, and his one touchdown pass actually went to him.
Let's talk about Dak and it's Dallas. Who wants?
Dude had 80 yards in the first quarter.
I bet 50 receiving yards that he got there with in like 16 minutes. It's like, oh, this is sweet.
What a James hammered Cook all thing. all of his props, dude. Yeah. Like, we were all over it.
Do we like him again this week, or it's just you don't, who knows, because we can't trust
because the matchup's not as good, and we don't know, like, the, and then because the thing is, if he's only going to get 55% of the backfield touches against the Cowboys, that's a big difference. Than getting 55% of the backfield touches against the Chiefs, or getting 55% of the backfield touches against the Broncos, right? Like, it matters getting 55% of the touches against the Cowboys defense.
John, talking about Dallas and their offense this week, who are we keening on?
It's a tough one as well, because they've been at home for three games in a row now, basically getting rest because they've just been destroying their opponents, the Eagles included. Like, the Eagles didn't score an offensive touchdown last week. They just kicked their ass up and down the field the entire game. And now you're traveling on the road across country, in the snow, like against Buffalo and all teams. I don't know. I could see this one being slowed down as well, honestly. Not only that, but although, like we've been talking about, Rich said last week that Bills have fought past their injuries and have fixed their defense. And that's been true. But now we're just kind of at a hump again where maybe Micah Hyde doesn't play on this game. They maybe down to the third starting safety. We don't know about their cornerback situation as well, as they have a couple cornerbacks, Teron Johnson included, who may be out for this one. So they're once again battling more injuries. Dak would be the way to go here, if only for his salary relief across from Josh Allen. But to me, it's either like at his price, I'm comfortable chasing Tony Pollard, even in a tough spot, if only because, again, he's cheap and he's kind of getting the Bijan Robinson treatment now, where we're seeing 19, 23, and 23 touches the past three games, at least four targets and four straight two since he had that dud against the Giants, I think it was. So I'd probably be going Tony Pollard for his usage, but again, I'm worried about both sides of the ball here for these offenses.
Rich, do you like the under 51.5? That's what it sounds like. That's what I'm hearing. You're trusting the defenses here?
It's just scary. Like, you have to have a lot of courage to bet 51 in a Josh Allen, Dak Prescott game. But in terms of playing it for DFS, I think I like being underweight in this game compared to the field.
I like Dallas first half team total. Probably if you're on something. I think Dallas is still going to score points. They've scored points at everybody. I think they'll find a way to score points. This offense has been just absolutely just scorching. Now that, you know, Mike McCarthy's kind of figured it out. This is what I thought their offense was going to look like in the summer. Like, I was like, this is how this team is meant to build, like the opening month of the season. And like, maybe just all the defensive touchdowns and the weird game scripts kind of threw everything off early in the season. Yeah. But like, this is what I thought they were going to look like outside of, you know, Tony Pollard not being as less electric than he is right now. But this is what I thought. I thought this team was built to play, like, you know, a spread offense, to throw a lot, and they are. That's what they've opened it up. And, you know, the CeeDee Lamb has been absolutely incredible. They're playing him everywhere. He's literally running a 50-50 rate inside, outside. What we care about is a slot rate in this game, although we might not have been pending the injuries for the Bills. But, I mean, the Bills are getting absolutely crushed by slot receivers, 28th in yards per target allowed to slot receivers, or 29th in touchdown rate. The only wide receiver he leads the NFL in slot touchdowns, CeeDee Lamb. The only player, the player behind him, Rashee Rice, just caught a touchdown out of the slot against the Bills last week. So everything sets up for CeeDee Lamb, I think, to just continue to like to be a really positive play. The rest of the guys are, you know what you're kind of getting. Jake Ferguson has major, like, kind of red zone equity. Brandon Cooks is touchdown or bust. Like, look at Brandon Cooks' game log. If he scores a touchdown, he was pretty good. If he doesn't score a touchdown, he was completely terrible. And then, like, Pollard's price is fine. I mean, you just hate, like, he's pulled for Rico Dowdle for a goal line touch. It feels like even when we get there with Tony Pollard, it's not clean. It still doesn't feel clean. It doesn't feel right still, but the touches have been there for him. So I'm not going to push back anyone at that price just taking those touches and hope to see where they fall.
Jake Ferguson is fun. Like, not that I'm going to get there, but the past 2 weeks now, we've seen him talk shit to both Jamal Adams and whatever Eagle wants to run up against him on the sideline. Like, that dude he's the reason they released Dalton Schultz. He's been really good.
That was the three main games. Do we have time to knock out like a player or two at each position of, you know, as far as players that we've not yet talked about, games we've not yet talked about? I guess we can do them really quickly. We kept the people for an hour and 15 minutes because we had to talk about the Saturday slate as well. We'll talk about a movie briefly in a second as well. But I guess we can be brief about this. And Rich, you said that basically we're done with quarterbacks anyway. Are there any quarterbacks left that you want to talk about?
No, my player pool right now, as it's looking in, is like, you know, outside of stacking, you know, Cowboys, Bills around like stacks in that game. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, kind of Stafford as like your cash, you know, small field guy, and looking at Jordan Love, and I'm looking at Brock Purdy. Like, it's really it.
Yeah, that's literally the same three for me.
All right, easy enough. Running backs, John?
Tack on Saquon Barkley, because I know the Giants are 6-point dogs. That's not possible. This Saints team is so horrendous. Ignore what they did against the Panthers, who are somehow more horrendous than the Saints. And Barkley, we talk about his touches, or we talk about Pollard's touches. Barkley just keeps on getting there consistently too, even 20 carries this past week. So I'm ignoring the line. I think the Giants are pretty favorable here against the Saints that have been leaking 5.1 yards per carry to opposing running backs out of their bye before, again, they ran into the Panthers offense, whatever the hell they're doing.
Rich, running backs, anybody that we should focus on, anybody we should mention? I mean, like, at this point, the people know about CMC, right? Like, I don't know what we need to say. Like,
they're aware he exists, yes.
If they're listening,
well, the last time CMC played the Cardinals, he had 180 yards and 4 touchdowns.
That seems pretty good.
It might be worth that 10-5 and what is the DraftKings
9-3.
Yeah, I mean, it might be. I think it might be worth it if I can get 180 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think you do your absolute best to get them in your cash games. You know, who knows what it's going to look like as far as the landscape, all the dominoes falling up until Sunday, but. Yeah, CMC is spectacular.
It's become a fun weekly argument, honestly, because it's teammate versus teammate. It's like last week, for instance, with Brock Purdy, it was like, if people are going to get to Christian McCaffrey naturally due to some kind of blowout perceived game script, which it was, maybe I'm trying to soak up all the touchdowns from Brock Purdy instead. And it's kind of the same argument again, because even in that game, last game against the Cardinals, Brock Purdy averaged over 13 yards per attempt. He just he's not the one who scored the touchdown.
At one point, I think he was like 20 of 20. I think he threw an incomplete. Like I forget the game, but like I think he set like an all time the 49ers record for like most completions.
He was 20 of 21 in that game. Yes, so it's like, okay, maybe the touchdowns revert back to him this time. So for tournaments, I still love the 49ers passing game. It's just like leverage off of.
Oh, well, the thing about the 49ers right now is that Purdy is no longer a guy that's like efficiently throwing for like 250 passing yards and a couple touchdowns. Like he's hanging 300 yards and like 3 to 4 touchdowns now a week. And that's how all these guys have started to get there. Literally every week, all 4 guys are getting there now. Everyone's along for the ride. And that was not the case early in the season where it'd be like, all right, we know McCaffrey's getting his because he's got the dual usage. Then you have to decide what receiver is going to get there because then the other 2 guys probably don't get there because there's not enough targets or yardage, but they're just like, dude, I mean, Purdy's the last, what is he, 6 games, 315 passing yards per game. He's hit 300 yards in 4 of his past 6 games. I mean, absolutely, he's just ripping yardage right now. Like,
FanDuel's moved his salary up. They began last week, but that doesn't mean you still can't play him. Like, it's still a great play at that price.
Yeah, and the Cardinals?
Yeah, same on DraftKings. He's just too cheap, honestly, on DraftKings, especially if everyone's going to play Stafford instead. And then not only that, but I don't remember my point. Go ahead.
So I think I know the answer to this. What was that?
Fog brain. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I thought the name came to you. I thought it popped in your head. I think I know the answer to this, but he's currently the second most popular running back hitting optimals. So I don't want to like play Zeke Elliott this week, do I? Like, do I want to play Zeke Elliott week 15?
I think it depends if we get Antonio Gibson or not, but there's some truth to Zeke and there's some false things that happened, right? Like when you look at it last week, like some things that aren't going to happen, right? Like he was targeting 32% of his routes. He had a 31% team target share. There was no Devontae Parker. There was no DeMario Douglas in that game. But also if we go back to last year, when one running back has just had this Patriots backfield, like the guy has been kind of decent for fantasy. Ramondre Stevenson didn't do shit with his targets last year when you look at like his remote efficiency stance, but we kept playing Ramondre Stevenson at the end of last year because he was just going to catch a bunch of passes, get enough carries. Like Zeke had 100% of the backfield touches, and like that role in that offense, like from a usage stance, has caught a lot of passes. So he's not going to get 31% of the team targets, and you know, he didn't run the ball efficiently at all. Maybe the Chiefs can alleviate that. But then again, are they in the game to run the ball long enough against the Chiefs? Mm-hmm. Even with this version of the Chiefs, should be able to handle the Patriots. Because I don't know how the Patriots really score. Like, Zappy ain't throwing 3 touchdowns against the Chiefs. I know that. So you're not going to get that kind of run out for Elliott. But, I mean, and this role in the offense has been valuable.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to do it, but it's an interesting
case. From a floor perspective, that is. Like, you look, because like Ramondre last year, he didn't do anything with his targets. He just got a bunch of targets.
John, receivers. Any receivers we want to run back to, we want to talk about that we should focus on before we close the book?
I don't want to get to Justin Fields, but the Browns defense, again, like they kind of were with against Stafford, may not be a full unit. Like they are just dealing with injuries across the board. It seems like we are going to get Denzel Ward back, but it looks like they're going to be on their 4th and 5th starting safeties. They'll also be missing a linebacker, another cornerback as well. So I could get to DJ Moore for sure. Last week was a cash game option. I wonder if everyone will gravitate to him in this outdoor game instead. But he's now averaged 21.3 fantasy points in Justin Fields starts. He's just been exploding from Fields, especially ever since he returned from injury. So I could see myself getting back to Moore in this game.
Rich?
Yeah, I feel like that's a trap. I mean, the what the Jaguars did against the Browns was all short field stuff. Like, it was kind of fluky. Like, that game was not as close as the final score indicated. Like, they had some turnovers. Maybe that's it. Just Flacco turns the ball over again against this good Bears defense. So there's the way there. Yeah, wide receivers, I think we covered most of the guys. I will see if he plays. I mean, it's a great spot for Chris Olave. He didn't practice today, though, so we'll just have to follow it. Like, he has absolutely been awesome against the blitz this year and against man coverage. So I know he's like everyone's least favorite guy to play because all the air yard stuff, but he's been pretty, he's had a really solid floor. Like, for the last month, he's been kind of getting there. He's like, he's a touchdown or 100 yards in four straight games. You know, only AJ Brown and DJ Moore have more yards, receiving yards against the blitz than he does this year. So indoors, like, I'll be going to him if I can. And then we named most of the other guys. I will say Brandon Ayuk is my favorite 49er wide receiver since we kind of did it. We glossed over that.
Is Rashee Rice, they're still beating that bone, right? I saw he got an elevation when it comes to routes run. He's on the field a ton more. He's clearly the best.
He had a big bump last week.
Yeah.
And that's not going away, right? That can't go away. Like, I wouldn't think so. 10 targets, 9 targets, 10 targets last 3 weeks. 6-1 on DK, 6-5 on FanDuel, but it's still
6-5 is a good price on FanDuel.
Yeah.
He's got significant touchdown equity. And you know, you really on FanDuel, because FanDuel is unlike DraftKings, it's like who you're playing at your wide receiver three kind of matters there a lot more than it does on DraftKings. And no one played Drake London, which was incredible last week because I had 100% Drake London there. So hopefully we run it back. But 6-5 is a really good price on FanDuel.
Give me this favorite cheap receiver. The ones that I'm seeing hitting optimals. Wandale Robinson, Jonathan Mingo, DeMarcus Robinson. Who did you say?
Well, we said Jaden Reed.
Oh, yeah, besides Reed. I'm talking dirt cheap, like the 4K stuff.
Oh, like
Mingo, DraftKings was terrible last week. Yeah. DeMarcus Robinson, the third receiver for the Rams. Is he playing?
Oh, baby. Yeah, I mean, Tutu's in concussion protocol. He didn't practice today. What a time to be alive.
Gosh, maybe you could play DeMarcus with Cup and Nacua.
I will say, if you are going to chase Wandale, this is kind of a really good spot for him. He talked openly about, like, that was the best he felt like in practice that week, you know, coming off the ACL. He felt like he was explosive coming in that game. But 50% of the wide receiver catches that the Saints have allowed this season have been from slot receivers, the second highest rate in the NFL. So if you were going to chase Wandale, this would be kind of a week to run him back.
So you got him ahead of Hyatt for that reason.
Yes. The Saints have been pretty good against boundary receivers. And we saw that again with Mingo, even though he should have had a touchdown. Bryce left that one on the field. But they've been pretty good on the outside, kind of the slots where you want to attack them. So yeah, I mean, it's not exciting, right? Like, that's probably like the just like a 6 for 79 game. That's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, yeah, and you're thrilled if you fall in the box. But yeah, it's not so much what that person gets you. It's but like the, you know, the players that they help you get as far as the salary relief. Okay, tight ends. Any tight ends that we want to acknowledge? I know we just kind of usually just go to whatever the optimizer says. We kind of teased it before. The optimizer is telling us on a Wednesday night that at least 50% of the lineups are getting David Njoku. Okungwu is in 41%.
Yeah, I figured Okungwu at 2.9, and he'd be the dude that was.
Yeah, his price didn't change at all either, right? At that money.
But he's not very good, so.
No. You kind of know exactly what you're going to get with them.
But at 2.9, if you get 4 catches for 45 yards, you'll be thrilled. Totally.
That's especially like on this slate. This slate is really bad with tight ends.
Ferguson, by the way, hitting 28%. I know you mentioned Ferguson before, John, and then McBride, 14%. Old friend Trey McBride. We haven't played him. At least I didn't play him last week. Well, I guess they were on bye last week, right? But 6-6 on FanDuel, 5-2 on DK. So steadily climbing as far as his price. But anything to add here, John, when it comes to tight ends? Anybody that's standing out, or, you know, it's tight end and who cares?
Yeah, well, I already mentioned Tucker Kraft with Jordan Love if you get there. We lost Hunter Henry since we think we're going to get Demario Douglas back this week. Yeah, nothing much. I think just what you said pretty much clear covers it.
Rich, you got anything?
I mean, Darren Waller is 5'5 on FanDuel.
If we get him, yeah, yeah.
Why would they bring him back? I know it sounds like a dumb question, but like,
are they... they're in a playoff hunt.
And Dayball's in like the opposite scenario, right? Like Dayball's not in the tank mode. Like he's out here trying to get wins, man. Like that's, you know.
538 used to have this thing that would say like their percent chance of making the playoffs. Where I'm trying to find that. Is that?
Oh, listen, my son is back in. My son has been out on the Giants. He was on the Team Caleb all year. And now the last, they beat the Patriots and they kicked that field against the Panthers. He's running my office. He's like, I'm back, baby. Like we're back.
Hell yeah. You got to get him a Tommy DeVito jersey for Christmas.
Dude, you didn't DeVito's, make him a Cleveland fan?
DeVito's like, fun.
He's not a Cleveland fan?
No, dude. I'm not a fan. I'm not a Browns fan, so I didn't push that on him. So,
oh, okay. Yeah.
I told the story. When he started liking football, his favorite player was Victor Cruz. And he stuck with it. Yeah, he's a big Victor Cruz fan and has stuck with them.
Is DeVito going to like be a backup in the NFL for the next like, couple of years now? Like, is he bought himself that? Like, good for him.
Sure.
Third string? Or second, I mean, whatever it is, like if he sticks around,
he's gonna be able to buy a house. I know that.
Yeah.
Who plays Tommy DeVito in like the Invincible story they make in a couple years? who's acting as so and so as Tommy DeVito?
Yeah, I don't know.
We got a young Mark Wahlberg. I don't know who that is, but I'm curious who plays.
Yeah, Chalamet. We get Chalamet to play.
Just wait because
feel very football-y.
Next week, if he goes,
neither does DeVito, to be honest.
No.
If DeVito goes into Philadelphia next week and knocks off the Eagles, my God, he's going to be a hero in New York.
He's gotten more juice out of this than I would have expected. And good for him. And
he's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun, if nothing else. I mean, it's not my team, but, you know, and it's just great. It's a great little story. Okay, that is the end of the week. We're done with football. We'll talk briefly about the movie that we watched, and then John is going to assign us a movie as well. Producer Steve was not with us last week, so he did not watch the movie. Producer Rob, I believe, either watched the movie or he didn't watch the movie. Either way, he's ill, so he's not going to be able to discuss it.
The show was down bad this week.
It was rough.
The show
was rough. Rich was unavailable to watch the weekend, movie.
Yeah.
Just two of us. Watch.
Yeah, you know what? I usually I can get to them on Wednesdays if I miss, like if I don't get to it on the weekend on a Saturday. But I had something happen at the end of last week. My wife had people in from out of town on Saturday, and then there was no buys this week, so I didn't get done until later in the afternoon. So I was down real bad, man.
That is so I can just like call John.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna make it a point to watch it though. I still am gonna make it a point to watch it.
Do you want to
spoil it or don't spoil it?
Yeah, not spoil it then? We shouldn't spoil it then.
Do we spoil or do we not spoil?
We can mix it. How about this? Since Rob watched it, we double dip and we do a double movie review next week.
Okay, that works. And just end the show now. Yeah.
I still
got to we got to pick a movie. Yeah,
that's a good call. Yeah, I want to get back to sleep.
Because I still want to. I want to hold up my end of the arrangement as well.
I don't want to be like Steve.
I don't be like Steve who just quit. Steve quit in like week 3. He made us watch Space Jam and just quit. I hope you're listening to Steve. He hasn't watched. He hasn't done. He hasn't participated. He just like let Rob just come in and just kick him out.
Yeah, Steve, you could always like make this a 5-person committee at the end.
Steve would have loved Ninja Turtles too. Also, yes. Steve, I was going to record. Steve, you would have loved Ninja Turtles.
By the way, the chat is joining us and having some fun as far as casting the movie for us. Chris Pratt as DeVito. Paul Giamatti as the agent is spectacular. I love that.
His agent represents a bunch of dudes. I saw someone like talking about, because that's like the first time, like I guess like he's gotten like camera notoriety or whatever. But like he's like been like an action, like he's like a real agent that's been around, and like
he looks like a Martin Scorsese actor.
Yeah, he looked like a comic book character,
it's perfect.
Yeah, a caricature almost. Like if you wrote that, it's like this is not you're being too fictitious. Like let's try to be creative.
It's straight from Sopranos, man.
Yes, yeah. What's his name? James Gandolfini's kid played in the Sopranos prequel. Maybe he's available. I don't know. But hey, we're going to put our movie conversation on hold outside of selecting a movie for us to watch. It'll be a double feature next week. John, you said you have you won the contest. You said you have three movies for us to choose from and discuss. What do you got?
So, everyone, you now have another week to watch 2021 Silent Night with Keira Knightley. Just write that down. And then when we come back, you will also hear about, and you should watch over the next week, either first choice. Because if last week's theme was holiday, but trying to get it right, since Fat Man left us all wanting more. Still not sure we got it right, but we'll talk about that next week. Let's keep on streaming in December. So I just looked up what's the best things that have started streaming this month, maybe to catch three titles that all of us haven't seen just yet. And so the first option would be Merry Little Batman, which Rich may have already seen. I'm not sure. But it's the animated Batman for the holidays that just released on Amazon Prime, I believe, a couple weeks ago. I think it's more directed towards young adults and teenagers, but it is supposed to be a fun, comical holiday Batman.
You're not going to believe this, John, but I've not seen Merry Little Batman.
Yeah, I figured you have.
How about Rich? Have you seen Merry Little Batman?
I have not.
Okay, so that's one. The next one is The Sacrifice Game. And all I know about this, Dean, is that it says, did you like The Holdovers? Would you like The Holdovers if it was a horror? And that's the description of The Sacrifice Game. So there's that. And we all have talked about The Holdovers. And then third would be Wes Anderson's Asteroid City, which just released on Amazon Prime last night, actually.
I saw it on Peacock like a month ago or so. Yeah. I don't get me started on Wes Anderson. Like, he is the definition of mid for me. I don't see it. I don't get it.
Don't get you started about Wes Anderson. Because literally, I said, don't get you started, but you literally came out the gates hot. Because the only reason it's on Amazon Prime right now is the same people, because obviously everyone either loves or hates Wes Anderson. There's no one in the between. The people that love Wes Anderson, that's the entire reason it came back. Because it was on Peacock, I believe, in August. And then it got taken down, and everyone went into an uproar. And then that's why they stuck it on another streaming service instead.
I'll tell you, the cast was incredible, though, for Asteroid City. Incredible. Yeah, it's a spectacular cast. Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hanks, Jeffrey Wright, Tilda Swinton, Bryan Cranston, Jason Schwartzman, Ed Norton, Adrian Brody, Liev Schreiber. It's stacked. Steve Carell's in it. Matt Dillon, just for fun. Willem Dafoe. Margot Robbie. I
mean, everyone.
Insane. Everybody wants to work for this guy. I don't get. Do you have a favorite Wes Anderson movie that you can assign to me one of these times? Because I think I'm going to watch the Life Aquatic. I got to give another chance.
I was going to say that's my favorite, actually.
I love Fantastic Mr. Fox.
George Clooney? Is that George Clooney?
Yes. Yeah. I love that movie.
Okay. Maybe I have to give it another chance. But like in my limited experience with him, I found him to be...
I do like Life Aquatic, too. And Rushmore, right?
I got to watch that one again, too. I know people love Rushmore. And I remember seeing it many years ago, but it hasn't stuck with me.
I will say I do find Tenenbaums over... Maybe I need to revisit that. Because I used to find Tenenbaums overrated. So maybe I haven't seen it in a long time.
I agree. I thought it was really bad when I first watched it. But I've heard it ages really well.
That's why I said maybe I was just thinking I haven't seen it probably in over a decade. I didn't dislike it. I just didn't think it was as amazing as other people. But so I do like Fantastic Mr. Fox, Life Aquatic, Rushmore would be my three.
You most recently saw Asteroid City, Dean?
No, I have not seen Asteroid City.
What if I changed it to Life Aquatic and then you could pick from those three?
I'd rather
watch Life Aquatic again than Asteroid City. I haven't even seen Asteroid City.
So it's Life Aquatic, the Batman thing, or the one that's a spinoff of the Paul Giamatti movie. Not a spinoff, but it's like inspired by.
Yes, those are the unofficial three titles of the movies.
I didn't write them all down. It was off the dome.
Merry Little Batman, The Sacrifice Game, or Life Aquatic.
What is The Sacrifice Game? You got my curiosity with that.
That sounds like something that Dean's saying. Okay, real quick, let me sidebar you, Dean, about Sean Stellato, Tommy DeVito's agent.
Yeah.
He was a former, he played several years in the Arena Football League. He was the agent for Alfred Morris. Remember Alfred Morris?
Running back for Washington.
In the Cowboys. Yeah, Sean Drone. Chris Manhertz, who you brought up earlier on the show. yeah, a couple of Ty Smith, the guy for the Seahawks. Yeah, pretty interesting here.
Good for him, man. And living his best life.
Yeah.
So I'm good with whatever. Whatever you want to go with, Rich. I'm open to whatever movie.
I am along for the ride here, wherever. I mean, I definitely could watch any of those. I like Life Aquatic a lot. I have not seen it in a while, but I remember thoroughly enjoying it.
I'm happy to give it a shot. I will retract my rant on Wes Anderson.
I'm a sucker for when Dafoe does comedy. Like, we don't get a lot of Dafoe comedy, and like when Dafoe like gets to actually do comedy stuff, it's fun.
Let's do it then. Let's do Life Aquatic.
Life Aquatic, it is. If you guys are playing at home, watch Life Aquatic, and also watch. And we're gonna do a double feature. We'll talk about myself and John. We watch Silent Night. Now, this is not the Silent Night that's current in theaters. It's the Silent Night. It's on AMC Plus. If you have AMC Plus, or you got to splurge. And I was gonna do the 7-day free trial of AMC Plus, but there's no way I'm gonna remember to cancel that.
You gotta set it on your phone.
Like 3 years, I'll be like, what is this AMC Plus I've been paying for the last 3 years?
And it would cost me $1,000. What are you trying to catch up on? Whatever spinoff of Walking Dead they're on, the 17th one?
Yeah. Oh, man. Don't get me in a Walking the Dead rant. But I'm finally out of that universe. I'm out. They've let enough money out of me.
How far did you get?
Well, I watched the entire original series, and like it was good for like 7 years. But then it fell off the rails. It kind of corrected itself, but they also it was point of no return, 88 miles per hour. It can only be so good because they ruin things, I guess you can say. But I don't want to get on the Walking Dead rant. Did you watch Walking Dead or no?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I always wanted to get to the prison, which I know is very early compared to where they're at now. But the prison from the graphic novels were always my favorite scene and segment. And so we got to the prison, we got out from the warden, and then I think I gave it a one or two more seasons after that, but it was very clear it was going to be like the late episodes of The Office where it was just going to be a money grab from that point forward. And the story's just going to keep on going on. It's like, okay, I can't do this. I can't follow this show.
And there was a point when they offshoots too.
There was a point where they changed showrunners. Man. And I cannot think of the woman that took over, but like she brought it back and like made it like a horror show for like two seasons. And then you could tell where like AMC intervened and like had her, they were like, you got to set up all these other spinoffs, and they got trash again. Like absolute hot garbage.
Although I don't know if you would have played it, Dean, but did y'all ever play the Naughty Dog Walking Dead adventure game?
I'm aware of it.
No, it's a Telltale game.
Telltale game. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Did you play that?
With Clem. Yeah.
Yeah. That one was really good.
Yeah, sounds really good.
That was real the good. It helped set up Last of Us, because Last of Us did it better, but the Walking Dead Telltale was really good.
Yeah, Last of Us also a Naughty Dog production. Are we excited about the Grand Theft Auto? By the way, are we going to be? I guess we talked about the software last week.
Of course we are.
Yeah,
it's like a whole year though, right?
Yeah, it's a whole year away. Dean, they're re-releasing Last of Us 2, a remaster with some stuff that. That wasn't released in the original game, I believe, in January.
Oh. I saw that. Like, am I gonna have to buy the game again? Like, how much more are they possibly?
Oh, yeah, they're trying to get that $50 from you, Dean.
Oh, geez, unbelievable.
I recommend that you play since you have a PS5 now.
Yeah.
To play Ghost of Tsushima, because it's absolutely it's breathtaking the way it looks.
It's on the list. It's on the list for sure. I'll have to check it out. I did buy a couple games during Black Friday.
And God of War DLC came out this week too. You can get to that.
Oh my gosh. The off season can't come fast enough for you, Rich. I can't.
yeah, 4 weeks, man. I got stuff to do.
Tell the people where they can find you, Rich. If they're not aware, they are aware, but there's like one guy. Like, where can I get more from Rich?
Sharp Football Analysis. I mean, I know people aren't buying fantasy subs right now, but obviously we've been on an app. I'll tell you what, we've been on absolute just demon type heater since November. Not just my stuff, but like Warren stuff. Like it's just been absolutely just printing. So there's 4 weeks left. If anyone cares, check some stuff out.
as far as like props, sides, totals, is that what you're talking about?
Everything, literally everything. Like there's not been a miss among us.
All right, you're on fire. Tell the people, John, where can they find you?
You can join me and Rich's son in the chat telling us that Last of Us 2, if you have it already, it's only a $10 upgrade in January for the additional content. So there you go. That's why he's never leaving your house, Rich, because he knows stuff like this. And then also not Jay Daigle on Twitter. The redraft streets, you're already in the playoffs. You could just DM if you have start sit questions. We're at that point of the year. So good luck the rest of the way.
In the chat, they're saying Frank Darabont was the good showrunner for The Walking Dead. He was the one for the first season and the end of
he was. There was a, really but there was a woman that took over, like,
yeah.
Oh gosh, man, I feel bad that I don't remember her name. Because I know it too.
Yes. But I know Darabont got into a big dispute with The Walking Dead. He ended up, there was a lawsuit. It was a big disaster.
Yeah, he was like part of the original creators. Oh man. Killing me.
Yeah. If only there was a machine where we can type this in and like maybe the answer would just pop up, Rich. We'll have to do that off air before we say our goodbyes. With that, though, that is going to be the Week 15 Pick 6 show for John, for producer Steve, producer Rob, who's not here, for Rich, for Mark Grace. Who else did we miss? for Tommy DeVito.
I need to drop a tight end. That's what I feel like we missed. We didn't get to drop a tight end.
Oh, yeah. You have to go like 70s because we've been kind of slowly working back from 90s to 80s. A tight end from the 70s. I don't know. I got nothing off Kellen Winslow or something like that. He's too popular though. He's too good. It's got to be somebody off the board.
It's probably Jimmy Graham because Rich was down for the count all weekend long, but then somehow rose back from the dead and showed up for this show.
Respect
Jimmy Graham. Good for him.
He's still getting his touchdowns, man. Respect for sure. I keep playing the wrong New Orleans tight end 17 weeks in a row. That was Rich. That was John. That was Dean. I was Dean. This was Roto Grinders. Win something this week. We're out of here. Out.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.